swing day mana na o swing day mama ma yet day cut do set na ta 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 ta
I inhabit your praise. Sometimes I think you don't understand what it really means when I say I inhabit your praise. I inhabit your praise because I inhabit your entire being. Even when you're not aware, I am there. Even when you don't care, I am there. Because I inhabit you. Because you are my praise. You, yes, you are my praise.
Praise the name, Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Praise your name,
Jesus.
Praise your name.
Praise your name, Jesus. God, praise your name in this place today. We give you honor.
So many times the world is so unkind, and we're not greeted with tenderness, we're not greeted with compassion, we're not greeted with love. Wow, God is good.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
I find him to be amazing. I find the Lord to be quite amazing. Let me get more water over here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad everybody that's here is here.
Yes,
everybody that's here is here.
Yes.
Isn't that good?
Yes, it's
Did you feel us pulling together just to worship God? You can feel it in this place. There's a pulling together. You know why? Because we love to worship God. There's a spirit of worship and just adoration in this place. It's here. Thank you, God. We don't have to strive. I never have to give a pep talk. It just, y'all are just there. And it's sweet. It's really sweet. Thank you, Jesus. Well, good morning. Say good morning to our Facebook family, too. Say good morning to our Facebook family, everybody. Good morning to our Facebook family. I'm going to talk to you about stay the course. Stay the course. Wow. The Lord told me a setback is not the same as a turnback. A setback. It's not the same thing as a turnback. It's important that we understand the difference so that when you're going through something, you don't confuse yourself. Sometimes we have setbacks. Listen to what this says. Cambridge English Dictionary says a setback is something that happens that causes a delay or prevents a process from continuing. In other words, there's an interruption somehow. Something was happening, and now it's been interrupted. Vocabulary.com says it's an event that makes you lose progress or keeps you from gaining ground. It's a setback. Your dictionary.com says it's an interruption in progress or even reversal, relapse, or upset. Sometimes you can have a setback because of the way you're just thinking. You're thinking old thoughts that they didn't do you any good then, and they're sure not going to do you any good now. Right? But we've talked about how your mind, your thought patterns create ruts in the brain. And science has proven this. So in order to change those ruts, in other words, your go-to place in your mind, it's going to take some effort. And you say, I know where that takes me. I'm not going there again. I already know what's there. I already know the outcome of that. So why go down that road again? Again? No. A setback means you're on a course of action. So it wasn't like you were just sitting around. In order to have a setback, you have to have been doing something, right? So it means you're on a course of action. It's a course of intention, headed in a certain direction. And something gets in the way of progressing forward. That means something has to be dealt with. Yeah. When you find yourself, that means there's something you have to deal with in your life. Because people who have setback, they don't mean to have a setback. They didn't get up that day and say, you know what I think I'll do today? I think I'll make myself have a setback. Yeah. No, they don't. Setbacks are sneaky. They're sneaky, sneaky stuff. So this is why you have to be vigilant and alert. Be on your guard. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence because out of it are the issues of life. So we really do have to have a guard, and we have to set a watch over our mouth too. And we can see this in the life of David a lot. I just love talking about David. A man after God's own heart. Sometimes we are the reason for the setback. That's right. It wasn't anybody that did anything to you specifically. It wasn't nobody chained you up somewhere. Nobody had a whip and beat you. Nobody was holding a gun to your head, which means you had choices. See, we don't like to admit that. We did this out of our own free will, our own volition, that we caused this wretched setback that we find ourselves in, huh? Right. So sometimes we're the reason for the setback. That's right. Your setback is in the way of somebody else's progress, though.
That's right.
See, we don't like to think that way, that my setback is holding up somebody else somewhere, because now I'm in their way. Mm-hmm. My thought patterns, my attitudes can be in their way. Right. Well, sometimes we forget some important things, like Luke 10:19, where Jesus said, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So why aren't we ever fearful about anything? Be afraid of what? If Jesus said, "I've given you the authority," they should be afraid of you. Spirit, serpent, scorpion, that's representing the demonic realm that was defeated at the cross. He was stripped. When Jesus went to hell, paid the penalty for sin, he also had the punishment of sin. That's why he was in hell. And he just jerked those keys right out of Satan's hand. He said, "Sorry, bud, you lost this one. You're done. You're absolute dust." But sometimes what we or the world may see as a setback is actually a setup. See, you're going through something, so you don't see the end from the beginning like God does, unless he shows it to you. Sometimes he'll show it to you. It's the middle part where we get bogged down. Oh, you get a word. Oh, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. You go, yeah. They said it'll soon. Hey, get the word soon. Has anybody else ever gotten the word soon? Yes, okay, so we all know what that means. Okay, I'm just checking. You know, soon this is going to happen, and you're going to do all this, and God, but it's the middle part. See, we start out, we're okay, we're very diligent, we've got a picture of it, we have an image of it, and it's been formed in our mind, and God has had us meditate on it. We've had scriptures surrounding these things he knows he wants us to do, as far as evangelism, witnessing to the lost, winning the lost. That's the number one thing. You don't have a ministry apart from that. But it's the middle part. Ooh, the middle part. So why does there have to be a middle part? Because we have to grow up.
That's true.
We have to grow up. Your baby Christian, all babies are selfish. They think about only themselves. They don't know how long it took you to do what you're doing before you got that bottle or food or whatever it was. They don't even think that way.
Right.
Well, neither do baby Christians.
Yes.
They don't think that way. And so you may have gotten an awesome word shortly after you were born again. Do you remember that? Wow. And you think, whoa, ha ha, woo, this is going to be fun, right? This is going to be awesome. Well, it is awesome and it is fun, but there's a mixture of stuff you're going to have to deal with. And you're going to have to deal with it. Why? Because it's in your way.
Yes.
It's called a setback. It's the thing that's in your path and you want it to get out of the way. Not so you can feel good, but so you can do the will of the Father.
Right.
See? And this is the part that has to be sifted in our lives. Why do you want it gone so bad? What does it mean to you if it stayed there a while? What would your attitude be? If somebody said it's going to be there for 10 more years, would you serve God with the fervor you are now? See, this is why God doesn't tell us. Mm-hmm. He just says, you have to endure. Endure as a good soldier.
Yes, that's right.
In other words, you're going to take some hits. That didn't mean you have an excuse to walk off the field.
That's right.
You don't have an excuse to walk off.
That's right.
No. The Lord gave me some scriptures for us today. Okay, some people are wondering. All I have to do is find where I put them. In Psalm 119, y'all know I love the Word of God. The Word was made flesh. So if you love Jesus, you're going to like what all he has to say. Look at this in Psalm 110. I just kind of had some scriptures that God highlighted for me, and I literally went with my marker and I highlighted them. And so I'm starting in Psalm 119:1. I want to talk just a little bit about David. David was a man who was passionate in worship. He was a fierce adversary in battle. He was someone who wanted to honor God with everything in him. And as a young person, did so. He didn't always talk about his victories. See, nobody knew he had killed a lion and a bear till that day when he was going to go after Goliath. He didn't go around saying, "Well, you know what I did? And I was the and God showed me this. And God showed me that. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to." You don't see this. He had sense enough to keep it to himself. Sometimes you have to have sense enough to keep some things to yourself. But he wrote some things by the Spirit of God as a prophet of God, so we could learn some things. Now, just be mindful, he was writing under that old covenant, and we have a different covenant, but some of the principles are really good. Verse 1, joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. When you're looking at a setback, you have to ask yourself, have I been following the instructions of the Lord? Or did I get discouraged and just poop out? Verse 3, they do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. Yep. You want to avoid a setback? Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is the NLT version. 16, I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. When you're going through a setback, where's the word in your life? See, we should be so full of the word that the word will come up to give the direction. It says he will lead you in the way you should go. Well, how does the Holy Ghost do that? So, well, he'll talk to you, just the word, he'll just pull it up to you. He'll talk to you more out of the word than any other way. As a matter of fact, it's the easiest way for him to get our attention and speak to us. It's right out of the word. But he'll bring certain scriptures to you. He will bring to your remembrance. He can only bring to your remembrance whatever you've downloaded on the disc to begin with. So it's got to be there. I've said this over and over. He can't tell you what you've never read. And what he does tell you has to agree with what you read. Yep. There's got to be an alignment. He said, in this psalm, he said, 16, I will not forget your word. 17, be good to your servant that I may live and obey your word. To him to live was simply to obey God. Wow. To live was to obey God. Well, that sounds like somebody else. For me to live is Christ. For I'm crucified with Christ, yet not I. It's Christ who lives in me. Remember? Paul saying that. Does that sound familiar? David and Paul had some similarities. 18, open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. See, there it is again, instructions. Wow. Verse 29, keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. So you can lie to yourself. You can decide in your own mind what everybody around you must be thinking about you. How grandiose can you possibly be? Not everybody around you really cares. I don't want to burst your bubble. But not everybody you run into is really that interested. I mean, you just kind of brush by people. And even people that maybe you've known, an acquaintance or two or something like that, well, they might have an opinion. Well, it's just an opinion. They're not God. It's okay. I'm just saying, you'll get up tomorrow. The sun will still come up. The world did not end because they had a few remarks. They will get over it. You shouldn't have to get over it. It shouldn't move us. It should never be a setback for us. Never, ever, ever. Praise God. This is good stuff. And he says in verse 32, I will pursue your commands, for you expand my understanding. When you're going through something and you'll say, well, I don't understand. He said you can actually have your understanding expanded. So God could show us, he can teach us the way we should go, the Bible says. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will lead you in the way you should go even. He says, but I will pursue your commands. Well, you have to go and look, what were the commands of Jesus? You need to study the commands of Jesus. There's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of commands from Jesus. I mean from Jesus, from his teaching. I'm talking about the stuff written in red. Okay? Verse 38. Reassure me of your promise made to those who fear you. So every once in a while, it's like, you have the word of God. You can go read the promises. You can go read the promises. You don't need God to speak to you about the promise. He already did. You can read it. Verse 45, I will walk in freedom. Ha ha. For I have devoted myself to your commandments. I've devoted myself to what you have said, Jesus. I've given you everything I've got because of what you said. I believed what you said. And so I live my life out of what you said. Wow. Verse 49, remember your promise to me. It is my only hope. 50, your promise revives me. It comforts me in all my troubles. Wow. 65, you have done many good things for me, Lord, just as you promised. Wow. 74, may all who fear you find in me a cause for joy, for I have put my hope in your word. I can honestly say my hope is in his word, that his word is the truth. He's a God who cannot lie, cannot, not will not, cannot. 89, your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. Verse 90, your faithfulness extends to every generation as enduring as the earth you created. Amen. And that's a lot. It's amazing. Verse 101, I have refused to walk on any evil path so that I may remain obedient to your word. See, there's certain things that we can read and get instruction for that will prevent setbacks. It will prevent them. Or if you find yourself in a setback, you can get that word in you, and your spirit and the word will agree. And when that happens, you immediately begin to be very fortified. You feel different. Your consciousness changes because your brain is hearing. You need to read the word out loud. That's why I say read it out loud. Yes. So your whole body, your whole brain can hear the word of the Lord. Because it's not just for your spirit. It's for your soul. It's for your mind, your will, your emotions. It's for your physical body even.
Of course.
Absolutely. 103, how sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. 105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. 114, you are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. 133, guide my steps by your word, yes, so I will not be overcome by evil.
Yes.
140, your promises have been thoroughly tested. That is why I love them so much. 147, I rise early before the sun is up. I cry out for help and put my hope in your words. I stay awake through the night thinking about your promise. This is a man who meditated on the word of God. He didn't just read it and go, okay, well, I've done my bit for the day. No, 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 no. This is a man, he lived in the word. He wanted to hear from God. And for him, his life actually did depend on it. I think sometimes we're a little arrogant. We don't realize your life depends on it. Your life does depend on his word. 162. I rejoice in your word like one who discovers a great treasure. Isn't that beautiful? But these are some things that help you when you find you've had a setback. Somewhere something went haywire. Something went haywire. And I love when I read David that you can see over and over and over that David had brought some trouble on himself. Others had brought some trouble to David, the enemies of God, but God didn't. God didn't bring the trouble. If you're in trouble, you're having a setback, God didn't bring it to you. He didn't do it. Staying the course brings blessings. The blessings are there, but you cannot access them when you're off the path. So you have to stay the course, because these blessings are there and they're available to us. As a matter of fact, when you're off course, you're not even thinking that way. You're not thinking about the blessings of God. You're not thinking about freedom in God. You're not thinking about being delivered. You're not thinking about the power you have over the devil, because somehow you had a setback and you were up in this position, but you're no longer in that position. You placed yourself back here somewhere. And a weariness can come over you in that place. You can have a despondent spirit in that place. Your soul, your mind is thinking wrong thoughts. And so the word of God is an awesome remedy for that. It really is. And you just start reading it out loud and say, God, this word is for me. I claim this for me. And write your name in places. Say, God, you're talking to me. You're speaking to me. I hear you. I will obey, God, what you've told me to do. I will do it to the best of my ability. I will do it, God, as unto you. He wants you to have his blessings. And he's not selfish or stingy. It's not like he's going to run out of anything. God never runs out of anything. Listen to this. What's the definition of a turn back? Merriam-Webster says to drive back or away, to stop the advance of. A turn back is to literally bring it to a halt, to return. The freedictionary.com says turn back. We're talking about the difference between a setback and a turn back. The action of turning back, MacmillanDictionary.com says, is to return the same way that you came. Return to the previous situation or condition. Wow. See, a setback's not a turn back. So sometimes people have a setback. They're just, they've got off course a little bit, but they don't want to go back to where they were. We are not turn back people. We're not turn back people. I'm just telling you, we're not turn back people. I'm just not having it. We're not turning back. So even if you have a setback, there's a lull. Maybe it could have been an interpersonal difficulty. It could have been something emotional. It could have been something financial. And the devil was able to come in and start talking to you. That's what gets people off track. It's never God. If we're off track, it's not God. It's never God. God's right where you left him. He's right there. He said, I'll never leave you. But all of a sudden, you're not interested in prayer, not interested in worship, you're not interested in maybe reading the Word of God because you got hurt. Well, who hasn't? Just you? Jesus was treated like absolute trash. I mean, they trashed the Son of God till he was unrecognizable. He said you couldn't even tell it that he was a human being. Had you not known it, you couldn't recognize him. We are not turn back people. And I want to say today that whatever is a setback or has been in the way, you can move it.
Yes.
You move it. God's not going to move it for you. You'll have to move it. You move it. Jesus said, it's finished. I've done what I'm going to do. He did a complete job. If there's anything left over he didn't do, then he didn't do a good job. So that's not true. Jesus is perfect and he did a perfect job. He did exactly what God wanted him to do, even though it cost him everything. He did exactly what the Father asked him to do. He was always listening for instructions. Because in the New Testament, was it written for Jesus? No, was it? Oh. He fulfilled the whole law of Moses. He lived under the old covenant. But he came to show us what the new one was. He came to show. He literally was a prototype of what we are to be. He was the first of many. The first of many. Remember? And that his spirit, when we receive him, we receive all that he is. That's why we're seated with him. That's not for just when you get there. You're there now. The kingdom of God came to indwell us. We are citizens of another kingdom. And I know I've said this, but I'm going to keep saying it because sometimes we forget. We get to looking at the news. And then there's fear that comes, or doubt, or unbelief, or feelings of uncertainty, and all those kinds of things. Do you know nobody in heaven thinks that way ever? Right. Nobody in heaven's afraid. Afraid of what? Don't live one day in fear. Not even one. Fear and faith are not friends. They are not friends. They do not cohabit. You either have one or the other. You have to stay the course. Staying the course means you continue to advance in spite of obstacles. You continue to advance in spite of how they treated you. You continue to advance in spite of difficulties. They're different for different people. But you don't turn back. And whatever's in your way, you make up your mind, that thing's going to move, because I'm not. If something's going to move, it's not going to be me. That thing's got to go. It's going to go in Jesus' name. And you begin to use the authority that God gave you for that thing to move. It could be a thought, a way of thinking, and you say, no, that thing's got to go. Taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Right. You don't have to keep thinking the way you've always thought. You don't have to. We're free. We sang all these songs about how He made us free. Well, what are you going to make us free from? He made us free from demonic control. Yes. Where do you think those stupid thoughts come from? And this whole world system doesn't know any better. So you can't trust what they're saying to you. Because the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. And those that belong to him are liars. It's just real simple. And those who yield to him can lie. Yes. Right. Galatians 5:24 and 25 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. It was all my stuff was nailed to his cross. Your stuff was nailed to his cross, not yours. You didn't pay for your sin, he did. Verse 25 says, since we are living by the Spirit. Now see, it wasn't assumed that we would be living by the Spirit. Do you see that? Yeah. We live by the Spirit of God. We live by his Spirit. It says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. We must stay the course. He said, in this world, you'll have tribulations, difficulties, hardships, stuff. And he said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Which means you can overcome the world. If Jesus overcame the world, then you can overcome the world. Why? He's living in you. He's the same. He's the same in every person. The Spirit's the same. How we treat him may be different, but he's the same. He changes not. The Holy Ghost is not inferior. That's right. There is no inferior less than in the Trinity, y'all. So when he sent his Spirit to indwell us, it was so we could be like Jesus. In thought, in behavior, in the fruit of the Spirit, to be like Jesus. This is the goal. This is why Paul said, no, not that I've attained, but I'm pressing. Because the goal is still good. The standard doesn't move. Jesus is the standard. There's not another standard for the Christian life. And anytime you don't understand something, just look at the ministry of Jesus. He was God on foot. He was God on foot so we could see what God is really like. How does God think? How does God view things? What is God's perspective? Jesus is the bar. You look in the scriptures, you see Jesus do it, you can do it. You can do it. Anything Jesus did, he said, you can do it. And whatever he said to leave alone, you leave it alone. Look at this. Mark, sometimes we have to remind ourselves of some things, like Jeremiah 23:29. He says, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? It breaks the rock in pieces. What is your obstacle? Is it hard as a rock? Are there things that just seem like they won't move no matter what you do? Well, what do you call those things? Those hammer things I hammer concrete with. What are they called? Jackhammer. Okay, the Word of God is your jackhammer. You put the Word up against that thing, it's going to move. If you'll be faithful with the Word of God, that thing will have to break loose at some point. You'll have to stay with it. You know, when you first start, even with a jackhammer, sometimes it can seem like forever. You just stand in there and you're just, and I mean, you're hot, you're tired, whatever. It's kind of like, okay, but it'll never break if you don't stay there. If you don't stay in there at it, it's not going to break. And whatever Jesus told us to do, he won't do. He tells us, you do it. You speak the word of God. He can't speak it for you. He can speak it through you. But he won't speak it against you. He won't go against your will. He won't violate your own choice. Yeah. Even the angels had choice. Yeah. God doesn't violate our choice. Look at this. You have to speak to those mountains. Tell those things that are not as though they be, the Bible says. Amen. Obstacles. That can be obstacles. Stop trying to pray things God told you to look and God told you to speak to. Sometimes we're praying, oh God, would you please just do this? And Jesus said, I told you to do that. I gave you authority to do that. Oh God, would you, oh but God, would you just come? And he said, I did. I indwell my people. Oh God, would you, and over and over and over, a lot of the prayers we pray, it's just rhetoric. You heard somebody pray it. Religious settings, pray it. And you're just praying it. Without ever realizing, if he gave me authority, because I never see Jesus saying, oh, Father, would you just please do this? And Father, would you please do that? And Father, would you do this? And would you? God gave him instructions. Then he just went and did it. He said, I don't even do the works. This isn't happening because of special power I have. This is happening because I obey God. I obey God. He said, I only do what I see him doing. I just say whatever I hear him saying. That's what I'm doing. That's all I'm doing. What about Mark 11, 23 and 24? I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Satan can come and bring a doubt in your mind, but he can't do it to your heart. He can come and bring all the doubt in the world in your mind, but you've got to understand that that's just a voice that's coming to you trying to talk you out of what God said belongs to you. I hope you understand that. This is why your mind, what you listen to, what you watch, what you surround yourself with, the kind of voices that are around you are such a big deal. You've got to have right voices for right choices. Yeah. And so a lot of the way the world thinks, the movies and all that kind of stuff, it's like that's not going to do you any good. Mark 11, 23, I tell you the truth. Now this is Jesus. He said, just in case you think I'm fibbing, just in case you think that I really don't mean this, he said, I tell you the truth. You can say, not I'll say, God's not moving the mountain. You got to talk to it first. Because your faith will cause you to speak to the mountain and it'll move just like it did for Jesus. Yeah. See, God's doing the work. He's doing the work. But he's not going to talk to that mountain for you. Right. You'll have to talk to the mountain. See, he partners with us to get things done. Right. He always wanted to partner with us. He wanted fellowship with us. He's not doing things on the planet without people. And Satan can't either. He's got to have somebody he can work through. Somebody who will yield to him. Right. He said, but you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. And when your mind starts thinking wrong, it's your heart that's telling you that. See, because you have faith down in your heart. Your spirit always believes. If you have the spirit of Jesus, he always believes. He always believes God. But Satan will come to your thoughts, to your mind, will, and emotions, your soulish realm. He'll come into that realm and he'll start talking to you. And you need to say, now, is that how God talks to me? If it's not how God talks to you, it's not God. If it won't agree with this way, it's not God. Y'all understand? So he says, I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe you've received it, past tense, it will be yours. You have to stay the course. stay the course. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be trials. Yeah, Jesus told us that. Oh, did he ever know it? I mean, when you think about, he knew who he was when he was 12 years old. He knew he was the Son of God. Mary and Joseph couldn't find him, and he said, did you not understand? It had to be about my Father's business. So he knew. So it's like, well, there's a real gap, though, between 12 and like 30. All those years. Why couldn't Jesus, if he knew he's the Son of God, and he's the Son of God, how come he couldn't do it? Well, God has a timing. And it says he learned obedience through what he suffered. He had to learn how to obey. I mean, he just shows up in flesh and goes, how do you do this? He put aside all his divinity. The Bible said it. Or otherwise, he couldn't really have been tempted by the devil. Because God can't be tempted. Neither does he tempt any man, the Bible says. So he had put all that aside. We don't have it hard. He did the hard part. He really did. He did the really, really, really hard part. He left glory. He left an atmosphere where nobody ever doubts, where there's no fear. There's no friction in heaven. Nobody's pushing to have their way in heaven. It was an awesome place to be beyond anything we can imagine. And the Father says, I need you to go do this because I love these people. I love human beings. I created them to be like me. I created them in my own image, male and female. I created them to be like me. But they listened. See, they're listen to me. They were perfect before they sinned. They had never known fear. They had never been misled. And so all of a sudden they're listening to a voice talk to them in a way they'd never had before. And instead of addressing that issue, which they could have, they didn't. Neither one of them. They didn't do squat. And they believed something about God. God was slandered. The devil actually slandered God. That somehow he was holding out on them. And that they didn't have what they needed. They already had it. And didn't even realize it. They were innocent. I want us to think about today. Setbacks, things that have been a setback. I think everybody, if you're a Christian long enough, you know what I'm talking about. The voice that comes, the one that, hey, that you have to rein in. And it takes a while before you realize that, oh, that's him again. That's what that is. That's that. And there's certain behaviors you'll find that you're doing, certain attitudes, and it's a result of the voice you've been listening to. I can tell you what it is. It's a voice. This is all the devil has. He was stripped of his power. He uses our power against us. He uses your belief system against you. That's why it comes in your mind. Even if it started out in the flesh, he'll come to your mind to deal with that. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. We have to stay the course. I'm here to give you some hope today. That for so many people in this room, you're in for a turnaround. You're in for a turnaround in your life. You are. God told me. Tell them. I'm here for a turnaround. A turnaround. There's some things, and you've been steady at it. You've been faithful. You've been talking to those mountains. You've been in the Word of God. You stayed in a place of worship. You've stayed in the fight. The good fight of faith. You've been exercising your faith, and God said, you're in for a turnaround. There's some things been coming after you. There's some things that have been going on, and you've been doing your part. You've been doing your part. Glory to God. You've been doing your part. And if you're out there today and you said, I need a turnaround, believe God for it. Just believe God for it. God is sincere. There's some people that may or may not be sincere. God's always sincere. He tells the truth. And he says he's faithful to the faithful. If you've been faithful and you count yourself among the faithful, I didn't say among the perfect. But you've been faithful. Your heart says, yes, Lord. you have a heart that says, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, then this song, I'm going to play this song, and this is for you. This is for you today. I want you to hear the words of the song. I want you to lay hold of it and make it yours. And we're going to, Bonnie's going to put it up on the screen, and I want us to do this today. And some of you, and I just want to just keep playing it. Just play that song and keep playing it.